even before Lynn tells me to. So, but we're reviewing the ones we've covered so far. We've covered six, and they're in your notes, the ones we've covered so far that we're reviewing them. Today's is going to be, I suppose, the biggest challenge. We spent literally 6 months on this topic, so I'm covering it in this session. Who doesn't have notes? Raise your hand, please. We'll get them to you. Josh, see those? Oh, you're still handing them out there. Josh, why don't you split some of those up so we can get it out faster? Just hand them a set. There you go. Right back here, she needs a set. Abby needs one over here. Josh, Abby, Daniel. We have enough? Everybody got notes? All right, let's pray. I'll review the two that we've reviewed just briefly, and then we'll go on to this next one. It should be fine. We've got it summarized rather well, I think, for the short time we have. So, thank you, Lord, again for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we just briefly look at this topic, that we would understand how important it is to know it, to understand it, and to live it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Six basic disciplines for believers. The premise is, as a disciple, Jesus said we were to teach them to observe everything that I've commanded them. And disciples do disciplines, if you will. They practice certain things. The first one is listed here, Bible saturation. I'm filling myself with God's Word. The key verse is, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The second basic discipline that we covered was last week, continual prayer. A disciple is one who is continually praying. And by the way, we do these things as we grow in the Lord. People that do these things are practicing disciplines that reflect spiritual maturity. Okay? They're not signs of salvation. They're signs of sanctification, disciplines. Just because you do these doesn't mean you're sanctified, but if you don't do these, you won't be sanctified. Let's put it that way. You have to be reading the Bible. You have to be immersed in the Word of God in order to be sanctified. You have to be continually praying to be sanctified. The one today, oh, by the way, the verse, I'm always talking to God, is the continual prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I don't know, we probably spent 3 months on that. Okay? This one here, we spent 26 teaching sessions on this. That's half a year. It probably took us 8 months to do it with the different things that go on. But it's yielded followership, or yielded following, I guess is a way to do it. I'm submitting to the authorities God places in my life. Honestly, there's some logic and argument that you could put this at the very beginning. Because if you don't care about submitting to God, then reading your Bible every day isn't really going to matter much. Does that make sense? Praying to God isn't really going to matter much. So there's logic here for even this being there. What was the main issue in the Garden of Eden? Adam rebelled against God's authority. Right? He did not submit to the one command he had. Right? It's that big of an issue. I believe that submission is a huge Christian discipline. Now, what do you normally think of when you think of the word submission? The men usually bump their wives, right? Honey, here it comes. It's like submission is huge for everyone. Okay? It isn't just that relationship, as we'll see. Okay? The summary statement, each one of these, we have a summary statement. The yielded followership, that's the word I kind of made up, or following. Instead of just saying submitting to authority, we are willfully yielding to follow our authorities. That's kind of the way we do it. But I'm submitting to the authorities God places in my life. It's actually an acknowledgement of God's control of the circumstances in which I'm in. It's huge. Romans 13:1-2. Now follow along with this verse. You can almost just park here and not have to go through the rest, but let every soul, that would be a everyone raise their hands kind of thing again, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. How does that make you look at President Obama? Okay? What did Jesus respond to when Pilate said, "Don't you know who I am?" And Jesus said, "You would not be where you are unless God had put you there." That's my summary statement. Okay? Understand that God is bigger than any political party, any national leader, or whatever. There is no authority except from God. And that's an all-encompassing thing. It isn't just saying governmental authority. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Does that make them all good? Does that make them all appointed by God? Yes. Therefore, whoever resists what? The authority. Any type of, if you resist authority, you resist the ordinance of God because God told you to follow that authority. Now, are there times to disobey? Yes, we'll talk about those. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Rebellion is the opposite of submission. God commands us as followers of Jesus Christ to submit to our authorities willfully. Summary statement here, or summary introductory paragraph is actually what it was. But one of the most foundational concepts of a believer's growth is to learn the importance of authority and submission. Every relationship created by God has both authority and submission. Did you know that? You thought it was just for the wise, didn't you? Those of you who have been here know that, obviously not, right? Every relationship has authority and submission components to it. Learning to submit is fundamental to our proper response to God, to having a godly marriage, raising godly children, to having a biblically functioning congregation, and to our proper response to government and those without. Romans 13 presents the truth that all authority comes from God. To resist authority is to resist God, and I'm in parentheses here, unless any given authority bypasses God's higher authority, and that's the exception, if you will. We looked at several words that are used in the New Testament. I won't really comment on these much. It's hupotasso, hupotage, hupokuo, hupokoe, and hupeko. You can look at what those definitions are, but we cover these in detail, and again, we have 26 lessons online if you want to download them. Okay, so I don't know what that roughly is, but that's probably, I don't know, 22 hours maybe. And all the notes, yeah, it's a half a year's worth of stuff. Observations about these terms, each word involves under. The word hupo in Greek is under, okay? A hupodermic needle, it's transliterated into hypo in English, but a hupodermic, hupo is under, dermic is skin. A hupodermic needle goes under your skin, and it does get under our skin, doesn't it? Let me get shots. Each word involves under, hupo, yielding or submitting as being under others. This is God's idea. Okay, it rubs us the wrong way many times in our sinful, rebellious selves, but this is God's idea and requirement. Okay, each word is something the follower does. The commands are given to the follower. Submission relates to the follower. Okay, there's commands to those that are in authority, but submission relates to you as the follower. It's your job to follow your leaders. Each word requires us to willingly yield to and follow another. And by the way, you can add, in most cases, unless you're talking about directly about God, that are sinful, that are imperfect, and will not go the way you want to go. Okay? That is part of it. Each word, listen, this bottom sentence is probably that starts at the bottom of the page here. It says, each word assumes disagreement. That's something I put forth, and I still affirm that. There's no need to submit if you agree. You're already going the same direction, right? That doesn't mean you won't at times agree with the leader, but submission isn't necessary then because you're already going that way. Submission, whether it's in the home, family, government, or whatever, assumes that you would do it a different way if you were in charge. It assumes that you would do it differently, that you disagree with what's going on. Okay, believers can function in that realm. God commands us to function in that realm. Each word assumes disagreement of decision or direction. I don't agree with your decision. I don't agree with your direction, the way you're going. It assumes that we would do something else if we were in charge. At a minimum, submission assumes disagreement by virtue of differences of opinions as to what is the best decision or best direction. All right? That's at the best case scenario. It assumes the disagreement by virtue of just, hey, I think this is the best way. No, I think this is the best way. It can also involve choosing righteousness over sin, which we'll see here. Each word is presented as a command. Is submission an option? Not if you're obedient. Submission is a requirement placed on us by God. Submission itself is righteousness. The Bible, if you want to live righteously, you will be submitting to your authorities. Not yielding is sin, even if the circumstance or choice does not involve a sinful decision or direction. And disobeying one in authority is allowed only when one is obeying a higher authority, usually God. Okay? So the idea, we use the illustration of driving the speed limit. Okay? If you're driving over the speed limit, you're breaking the law. The only way to justify the difference, and by the way, we do that because it's easy and everyone looks down, you know, is if God said you're supposed to drive a different speed limit, or if there's some other justification that the government would understand that you're racing someone to the emergency room and they'll help you get there if they know you're doing that, if that makes sense. Otherwise, it's rebellion, right? It's not submitting to authority. Now, there's realms of yielded following, realms of submission to authority. Notice there's an A, B, C, and D, so let me hit those first, okay? Letter A, believers, number one, believers are to submit, and it's a Godward submission. We start there. You have to start there. Believers' Godward submission response. So it's the Godward realm, okay? I guess that's letter A. That'll confuse you if I do anything else. Letter A, is the word is Godward. The second letter is... And I do them by in a chronological way. I don't know why I'm having a problem saying that now. Is in the family realm. Because the family is created first, right? Okay? And then the letter C is church. I do that more because of the content. Maybe it's not chronological as much. There's more there. And I'm going to put letter D down here. I call them the outward realm, the ones that don't fit in these others. Okay? So there's the Godward realm. We have submission responsibilities to authorities in that realm. Family realm. We have the church realm, which actually is quite a bit, as you see. And then the outward realm, anything that kind of is outside any of these. Okay? Now let's go back to letter A. I was going to say number A. I got myself totally confused here. Okay. Two parts. They're generalities, but they make sense. Number one, believers are to submit to God, right? That's your number one responsibility, to submit to God. And I would say that if you're not submitting to God, the rest of these are going to be hard, if not impossible. Okay, because if you won't submit to God, then submitting to your parents or your husband or government authorities or whatever, why would you do that? Okay? Ephesians 5:24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, I'll stop there because that's the word. By the way, the numbers at the end of the verse there are the numbers that coincide with those hupo words at the beginning. That's what that number is, okay? So I put those in. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And then James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There seems to be an order there that I won't get into. But if you have trouble with temptation, maybe you have to start with God first. Okay? All right. Number two is related to this because God is the giver of this. But believers are to be obedient to the truth. Obedience or obey is another word that's part of those hupo words there, okay? Believers are to be obedient to the truth. Romans 6:12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. That's the hupokuo, which it's a neat word. I don't have time to go into it now, but it's listening to, kind of yielding as you listen. Romans 6, do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. We're to obey what God says is the truth. Let's see. Second Thessalonians 3:14, toward the bottom there. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Did you know that there's an expectation of believers by other believers that they should be obeying the truth that they know? Did you know that? That we need to expect one another to do what we know to be true? It even brings up here, this has to do with working as opposed to not working or eating kind of thing. And it says if they're not doing that, you're not even to have company with them. That's the context there. So the idea, the words, the numbers 3 and number 4 of the hupokuo, it has to do, I guess I'll have to get into this a little bit. I'll write it here for a second. But the reason why we say listen or to obey the truth is it involves listening. We have the hupo, which is what? What does that mean?
Under.
And then it's joined up with another word, which this is a Greek word, which means to listen, actually. To listen or to hear. Okay? So when it talks about being obedient, you've listened and you've done what you are told, right? The numbers 3 and number 4, one's the noun form, one's the verb form of that word. So that when obedience, it has to do with paying attention to what you're told and doing what you're told. So that's why it's the word obedient. You're listening under. Someone tells you and you do it. Okay, so that's where we get that. Listening to the obeying the truth. God tells us something, we are to do it. We are to submit to what God tells us is true. And that relates a lot directly to any command, because if God says it, it's true. Okay? But we are to be obedient to the truth. 1 Peter 1:22 is on the backside, upper left-hand corner there. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, same word again, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Okay, again, it's obeying the truth. What's the truth? To love one another. So to obey the truth is I am told to love one another, so therefore I need to love one another, okay? Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed, same word again, he listened and did what he was told. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He obeyed what God said, even though he didn't know the end result. Okay? Questions or comments on number one? Probably the easy, or letter A, probably the easiest one to bring around. Yeah, I'm supposed to obey God. Of course I am, okay? But everything God commands us is that truth that we're supposed to obey. So you could probably stop there and be done, understanding that all the rest of these are the truths of God that we're supposed to obey. Okay? But you have to start with God. Next, letter B is the realm of the what? Family. We're probably a little more familiar with number one here. It's the one we always think about. Wives are to submit to their own husbands. Oops, I guess, I'm sorry, I goofed you up. Kids, if you wrote, I'm sorry. Wives are to submit to their own husbands is the word in the blank there. Sorry about that. Okay? I'm writing what they're supposed to submit to, and that's goofing you up. Okay. Wives are to submit to their own husbands. Familiar passages to most of us. Therefore, the church, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Colossians 1:8, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. The other word is hupotasso, which is to place yourself under. It's a willful following. It's a willful yielding again. So it's not, well, he's better than I am. He's smarter than I am. It has nothing to do with brains. It has to do with God's instruction, right? To make relationships work. Every relationship has an authority and a submission element. Titus 2:5. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. The Bible says that the word may not be blasphemed. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word. Here's a command to wives to obey husbands that don't even obey the word. Okay? That doesn't mean you're to be complicit in sin, okay? But if he's not telling you to do something that God didn't tell you not to do, we're to follow our husbands still, right? Without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Just without a word. One of the things we'll talk about in a little bit, submission has a lot to do with not saying something. Does that make sense? Because you know what? Submission is, assumes that I what? I disagree. And that my ideas are better and my directions are the best, right? And so submitting is what I don't say oftentimes, right? Because I already know I disagree. Now you can offer helpful suggestions if they're welcome and if that, you know, if they're solicited. Otherwise it's like submission has a lot to do with what you don't say and what you do. Okay? It's not that you've changed your mind. Still think it's a dumb idea? I think, you know, you wouldn't necessarily say that, right? But I don't think it's a poor idea. I think it's not the best way to go or whatever. I've offered what I can with the realm that I have to be able to do that. The rest, okay, let's dig the hole with the back end of the shovel. Okay, all right. Well, we'll just work at it, okay? That's submission. Now, it might be that you were thinking about the back end of the shovel, okay, too, so give leaders the benefit of the doubt, too, because it'll go both ways. Trust me on that. Okay? We'll get into it in a little bit. That 1 Peter 3:1 talks is in the context of what? What precedes this? Because it says, wives, likewise, be submissive. Remember the context of this? Jesus' submission prior to that. Because Jesus' submission is used as a illustration for the one before it. Slaves, submit to yourselves to your masters, not only to the good, but also to the forward and the harsh. Okay? You want to look there? We'll look there in a little bit, okay? We'll get there. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For what profit is it if you are beaten for your own, when you deserve it, basically. I'm paraphrasing now. But if you are beaten wrongly, God is well pleased or something like that. Let's look it up real quick because you're getting stars in your eyes, and I'm probably goofing it up bad enough. 1 Peter 2. We fight for our rights. That deserves to be fallen there. Okay. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 2. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Verse 19. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Okay, what's the scenario here? The problem is you're doing right before God because of conscience, and you're still suffering grief. Okay? You're suffering wrongfully. You endure grief, suffering wrongfully, because you're trying to obey God. Okay? You might even be disobeying your master because he told you to do something that you just can't do before God. What's it talking about here? Verse 20, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? If you get a speeding ticket because you speed, it's not honorable if you take it patiently. You got it coming, okay? All right? Or here was the, if you got beaten because you did something that you should have gotten beaten for, and I'm not advocating beating, but I understand this, he's saying, that's the context here. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God. For to this end you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. We do this for the benefit of the name of God and for the people around us, not because we like to suffer. For Christ also suffered for us. Did he deserve to be beaten, whipped, crowned with a thorn, nailed to a cross? Why did he do that? Because he wanted to suffer? No, he did it for you and he did it for me. He did it for God, okay? That you should follow in his steps? What, that you would be willing to suffer for other people? Oftentimes our suffering, if we suffer for, we do good and we suffer for it, God's name will be lifted up. If we take it patiently, if we're arguing back. Notice, it goes on to say this, that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, he didn't deserve it, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He didn't deceive anybody. Who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. What did we say about submission? Submission has a lot to do with what you do not say. He did not, someone mocked him and he didn't revile back. And what else? When he suffered getting beaten, he didn't say, "You just wait. You just wait. I'm going to get you." He didn't threaten back. Okay? It's what he took it patiently. He didn't toss back and say, "I'm going to put you in the hottest place in the lake of fire." You know, nothing came out of his mouth. But commit, what did he do? This is a huge part of submission. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. He said, "God, you know the circumstances which I'm in," which is a huge part of submission. God appoints all authorities over me. He knows what's going on. I submit. I'm doing good to the best of my ability as I understand it, and I'm still suffering. God, you know. And I commit myself to you, to whatever happens, happens at this point. But I'm here, and I'm taking it patiently. Who himself bore our sins in his own body. He didn't do it for us. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for others. We're doing it for God. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And then it goes on to say, wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands. Okay, which is huge. We're like, I'm not advocating violence in the home. I'm not doing, but folks, understand that God is bigger than we are. And he knows where we're at. Okay, what can we do if we yield to him? 18, verse 18. But it's huge. It all fits in together. And a lot of times we, as Christians, quote this verse and that verse, but we don't get the context of the verse. You know, and again, wives, what does it say here? That be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the, what? Conduct of their wives. And that, I'm using this as a general principle that you can use at work, as an employee, you can work, use at church, use for the government, whatever, it works. It's an example. That's why he can say go from slaves to Jesus to wives, because it's the scenario that fits all scenarios. Jesus is the pattern for our submission to the government, to the, his parents. How would you like to have imperfect parents and be perfect? So you don't have to worry about that, but Jesus did. And yet he yielded to his parents. Okay? Okay, next one. 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6 says, "For the, in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted God also adorned themselves, being submissive." How did the women adorn themselves? By their submissiveness. "Being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid of any terror." Okay? Was Abraham just the wisest man who walked the face of the earth? Honey, when we go to Egypt, just say that you're my sister. You're my half-sister, so it isn't all false. Did I get into problems at all? Honey, here's my maidservant. Would you have a baby through her? Abraham? Sure. Okay, that's what he said. Did it cause any problems? To this day. But Sarah called him Lord. She listened under him. Okay? It wasn't because he was perfect. It's because she was under him willfully. Okay? Children are submit to their parents. If we're not following God, why would our children follow us? Does that make sense? Illustration, right? Daddy, why are you speeding? Shut up. We're late. We yield to our authorities, and guess what? God expects you to yield to authorities like Daddy's yielding to his, right? It goes all the way around. It's not do what I say, not do what I do. Jesus was subject to his parents, Luke 2:51. Remember that? He placed himself under his imperfect parents. 1 Timothy 3:4. "One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence." The idea of a pastor having his children subject to him. He's being responsible for his children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is..." Okay, we got a few of them a week. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord." If we're not following God's plan in our submission in the areas that he has placed us, whether we're a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, a worker, a subject of a government in a sense, don't expect your children to follow you here. Okay? It's well-pleasing to the Lord. Letter C, the realm of the church. There's five here. I'm just going to list them briefly. They're not hard. But we're to submit to spiritual leaders. I guess I got more. We're to submit to spiritual leaders. The Bible says here, obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. "For they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." One of the things that comes out here is that if you don't obey your authorities, it doesn't release them from being an authority. It just makes it hard on them. Children, if you don't obey your parents, it doesn't release your parents from being the parents. It just makes it harder to parent you. Wives, if you don't follow your husbands, it doesn't release your husbands from leading you. It just makes it harder. Think about the government. If people would just comply with the laws that are legal and right and good, how much easier that would make, and maybe how much red tape would go away, because you're working around to try and find a different way to do it. Same with the spiritually, a pastor's job doesn't get eliminated if people don't follow. It just makes it more difficult. Obey those that rule over you and be submissive. The King James says, submit yourselves. It's in the middle voice. It's you doing it again. Okay, it's not a dictatorship. It's a willful yielding. Young leaders are to submit themselves to the elder. I guess I got it singular. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The placement of this verse makes it seem like there's multiple elders in a church. Some are younger, some are older. It might be just young people submitting to older people. I think the Bible would substantiate that idea. Okay, I think it's the book of Proverbs talks about rising when a person, older person walks into the room even. Okay, but I think here the context is that Peter's talking about elders all the way along, and he says, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. It might be younger leaders that like, you know, I have better ideas. Well, your time will come. That's the idea. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay? The believers are to submit to those devoted to service. We're to find people that aggressively serve God and help them. Okay? 1 Corinthians 16:15-16 says this, I urge you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves, the King James says addicted themselves, to the ministry of the saints, to serving God's people, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. So you find people that are really working hard and say, what can I do to help? We're supposed to submit ourselves to them. And if they ask you, they're getting something and say, hey, could you do this? Yes. I'd be glad to help you. Okay? Number four, women are to learn in silence, in all submission. We talked about the whole silence thing. I won't even touch that today other than the Bible commands it at least twice. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. They are to be submissive, as the law also says. One of the things I'll throw out, I did this years ago. I had somebody come up and say, how do we put this to practice? In church, if I have a question, what should I do? And we're not sticklers in this or whatever, but there's a reason why God does this. Okay? I had people years ago, it wasn't even here, it wasn't at Northridge, and they said, Pastor, you know, it's the man and woman come out and said, what if I have a question? And I said, well, you could ask the question, and I could give you an answer. But what does that do for your husband? The Bible says, by the way, if you have a question, ask your husband at home, which is totally foreign to us, isn't it? Isn't it? In our culture. Ask your husband at home. Why? Number one, it probably disrupts things. I don't know if you noticed, but if people talk, it's hard when you're teaching or something. But also, too, when you're asking a question, it's a discussion, not a, you know, it's a discussion. But what's it do to your husband? It bypasses him. If you ask your husband at home, guess what he has to do? Wives, do you want your husband to be in the Word of God? Ask him the question. Have him come and ask the pastor. I mean, you can get the answer, but what if he has to work on it and do that? It bypasses the husband in that way. If you ask the husband, husbands, you need to take the responsibility. You look it up. You study it. You don't have to ask the pastor. That's one of your options, but it'll make you look it up and do that. If we bypass our husbands, what does it do? It prevents them from leading the way God expects. It isn't so much an anti-woman statement here, in the way I understand this, because I think women are very smart. I'm married to a smart woman. Okay? I think women are very smart. And most of the guys here would say, no arguments from this corner. You know, we're there and we've been saved by our wives over and over and over and over. Okay? It's a pro-woman thing because it's a method for God to engage their husbands in leadership in their home. Okay? A lot of people are like, well, I want to ask a question. You're missing the point. It's what God wants to do for your husband. That's what I see it as. It's not that you're not smart. Women are brilliant. It's not that you're not important. You're the last creation. And that seems to be like the pinnacle, you know what I mean? The final touch, okay? It's what does God want to do in his order to accomplish things as you follow him in these different ways, okay? It bypasses. The illustration I gave the lady was, if you told your kids, all right, it's cleaning up the playroom. Anyone here ever have a playroom? It's also known as the nuclear hazard waste location or whatever, you know. It's just, I don't know what it is, but a nuclear explosion could go on in our playroom 5 minutes after it's cleaned up, and it would look the same 5 minutes later, whether it was a nuclear blast or my kids have been in there in 5 minutes, okay? But I said, you can pick it all up yourself, but what does it do for your kids? They don't ever learn to pick up, right? And I said, I'm not saying your husband is a child, but that's part of his process of learning. You don't get married and you're instant spiritual leader, right? Is that true? You're not instantly mature in every area of your life. I'm not. I've been married for almost 30. Okay? So it's a process, and that's God's way of engaging the process. So please don't look at it as a prohibition nearly as much as that's God's way to help men be engaged. Oh, one illustration. I won't tell you where it's at. But there was a church, a rather large church in town, and I was riding with a guy that we were going to just an event to go see the stock car races in Knoxville. Never been there, never been back, but it was neat. We went down there, and we were discussing the church that he worked there. And he said, you know how many Bible studies we have going on in our church every week? I said, I have no idea. He said, 24. I don't know. I need to think it in your mind. Fantastic. That's great. And he said, do you know how many of those are men's Bible studies? And I said, I don't know, 25%? He said, none of them are. I think that whole Bible study thing does the same thing. If you want to have a Bible study, have the men there for crying. I don't like the homeschool movement because it displaces men. And I'm a homeschooler, by the way. The way things are set up, men are left out, and I believe that hurts the family. Does that make sense? Does that sound? Men need to lead, and if you don't let them lead, if the women bypass the men's leadership, have a Bible study and let your husband lead it and see what God will do in your family rather than having a Bible study about how to be a great wife to your husband, and your husband never gets a chance to be engaged in the Word of God. Just a thought that I think is worthy of your consideration. And guys want to lead. They just don't know how. I'm still learning how to lead in my home. I'm still learning how to lead at church. It takes time. It takes going through processes to do that. We don't become leaders overnight or just because we put a ring on our finger or because someone puts pastor in front of our name or Sunday school teacher or whatever. Number five, believers to submit to one another as the occasion requires. It doesn't displace these other positions. But there are times when a pastor needs to help somebody else. You know what I mean? Or a dad needs to help the mom. Kind of. It's not a, I'm the Lord and you're the follower. You know, it's at times you're following people. Okay? Last two here. Believers are to be subject to government authorities. Romans 13 was written when? I'll give you a heads up. It was when Nero was Caesar. It wasn't when, I don't know, name your favorite. It wasn't Caesar Rinaldus Reaganus or you know, whatever your favorite politician. It was Nero. And Paul says, you be subject to the governing authorities, because there's no authority that isn't from God. And the authorities that are there are appointed by God for reasons beyond our own comprehension at times, but it's still the case. It doesn't say good authorities. Authorities, okay? Romans 13:1, therefore you must be subject, this is verse 5, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Titus 3:1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Do you see that? We're supposed to be good citizens. As long as it's within the parameter that it doesn't violate a higher principle, we must obey God rather than man. 1 Peter 2, man, God must have wanted us to get this. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Every ordinance of man. You mean the speeding thing, the taxes? Yes. Whether to the king and supreme or to governors or to those who are sent for him for punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. Last one here that we've already kind of hit on. Servants are to submit to their own masters. By the way, there's the whole idea of your own husband, your own master idea. You have responsibilities to particular people that God has appointed you under. It isn't every husband, it isn't every master, whatever. Kind of thing. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. There's that quiet idea. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. We've talked about that passage. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity as to Christ. Wow, not only like wives are supposed to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, parents, kids are supposed to submit to their parents as to the Lord. Here's masters to submit to their servants are to submit to their masters as to the Lord. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Why do you do this? Because you fear God. You're following God. You're wanting to be holy, to be righteous. And righteousness, holiness, maturity, sanctification involves following the leaders that God has placed you under. I didn't really bring it up here. I quoted it a couple of times, but there are times when you don't obey, but that's when a higher authority changes it. You can draw hierarchies. It really depends. You know, I would say it depends, but if God says it, no matter what, you obey God. It doesn't matter if your pastor says it, your parents or whatever. Within the concept, if the parents say don't go to church and you should go to church, I don't know if that's a do or die thing. You can still honor God at home and do that, but there might be things that you shouldn't do, and I'm just throwing out scenarios. You might want to argue the point, and I might end up agreeing with you or whatever. But if your parents say don't go to the youth group, don't go to the youth group. You know, kind of idea. But if your pastor say to do something within that realm of his scope of stuff, that's right and good. But there are times when you obey. If God says that, you obey God rather than men. That's in Acts. You know, they tell them, don't preach in the name of Jesus. And it's like, well, you tell us, should we obey God or man? And the next time they go back, when they got dragged back, they said, we will obey God rather than man. The government can say that, but we must obey God. And therefore, God is the higher authority, and therefore, his authority overrides the authority underneath it, if that makes sense. So there's scenarios that we could draw and say there's times when you obey different, you know, say we have a teacher at school. My parents should circumvent my teacher at school because the parents are the higher authority, as I understand it. Okay? But it really depends too. You know, so bottom line, do what you're told unless there's a higher authority that tells you otherwise. Questions or comments? Sir.
Yes.
Yes.
How you formulate things, how you see things.
Yes.
Obedience has effects that go way beyond what we understand.
You quit fighting for your own rights and me, and you get focused on stuff. Even Hebrews 13:17 brings it out. It says that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It distracts the leaders. It distracts the followers from the wrong thing. So right on. It submission benefits us. It does. It's God's plan to make the gears turn in a sinful human realm. And by the way, there's even submission in the Godhead. We talked about that when we first started. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. It's a divine attribute to follow, to submit to authority. It's not a demeaning thing. It's a divine thing. Other questions or comments? Did we cover 26 weeks okay for you? Obviously, there's way more stuff that we covered. So if you want it, it's all online. I looked. It's there. And if you need it, I could put it all on a CD or a thumb drive, too, if you'd prefer that, if you want to engage in that way. So let's stand and close in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask my father-in-law, who considers me his favorite son-in-law, and I'll give you a caveat. I'm married to his only daughter, but he's a godly man, and he and Mom Wright have raised a woman that has made me a better man, way better than I would ever made on my own. So, Dad, would you close us in prayer, please?